The gift of prophecy and encouragement. Ha. After the Interruptus Maximus Batman of last week and Peter Butt, it went all very smoothly, and then it's like pow, wasn't it? It was like just he came with such strong words for us. We are back to our scheduled teaching. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this week, prophecy and encouragement. So last week you had Peter Butt, this week you got me. Whoop, whoop. However, I'm going to say some general things, and what I want to do is reflect back again, and that if we want to be involved in this quiet revival of which he spoke, yeah? All these wonderful statistics that we have, then we need to acknowledge that we should indeed wake up, look up, and rise up. And then we must also acknowledge that this can only be done, and only be done by God's people if they're armed with the tools for the job. And the Holy Spirit is the only place where that's available. And it's our birthright through Jesus. Romans 8 says this in verse 14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." And verse 16, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Now, if we are children, then we are also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. On a general note, if you do not consider that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are relevant today or for you, that these gifts are for the more mature, maybe the more assertive, the more formidable members of his church, that is a lie. And you need to tell God that you're really sorry. And you'd like to receive some of those gifts, please, now. Thank you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. And we know that because Scripture tells us that. You are a co-heir, which means you have inherited all God's spiritual gifts if you have shared in his sacrifice. So, our verses this time come from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. So if you want to look that up, you can, but there will be a slide in a minute. 1 Corinthians 14, starting at verse 1. To quote The Sound of Music, it's a... Yeah. There you go. It's a prophetic word there, Joe. Quote The Sound of Music, let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place. Thank you. So what do we understand by prophecy? You can shout it out. Silence is golden. What do you understand? Go on then, Sonny. To speak forth. Not fifth or sixth, forth. Okay. My husband really likes the word fifth. It's such a tough English language. And as you come out from the tunnels coming north into Thurrock, we often come up at the first exit and it says, you will need to take the fifth exit. And we always giggle. Anyway, moving on. Speak forth. Yes, anything else?
Words of encouragement and strengthening.
Any other ideas?
From God.
Excellent, David. Go, yeah, Lisa. God can use anyone.
He even used a donkey.
Why do you think I'm here? So there. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in a tongue, but I would rather, and I've put the brackets in, have every one of you prophesy. So the understanding is English is that those words are in there as well. So the very simplest form, if you're to draw back what prophecy is, its simplest form is God breathing. In the beginning, there was darkness. And God went, let there be light. So thank you for that, John. The idea that his breath and exhalation bring things into being. Primarily in the Bible, prophecy is God communicating his divine will, truth, and guidance through human messengers to his people. It often involves repentance, justice, and faithfulness, but can also include the foretelling of the future. There are numerous. I mean, I could have done a real Andy Akerman-style Bible study on this. We'd have gone through every book in the Bible and I'd have picked it, and David would have helped me. David would have gone down the other rabbit holes that I'd missed. So many verses just foretelling the birth of Jesus. Yes? Isaiah is always good if you want to find, but there's numerous ones. There's numerous ones about the ending of the world. There's numerous ones about the destruction of Jerusalem and all of that. None of those people who prophesied that saw it come to pass. They had no idea. They didn't even have, like, 2 years later, oh, okay, I was right. 500 years, 1,000 years went between their prophecies and what actually happened. It's a supernatural enabling by the Spirit to speak God's word. It's not human opinion. And it's with the ultimate goal of drawing people closer to him. It's always what it's about. He always wants to draw us closest, bring us into his presence, let us know his true character and identity. Prophecy just shifts the focus from us. If you go back to verse 3 in there, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So the Paul, the writer of the letter to the Corinthians, is adamant that he would rather have us all prophesy. All. Not the loud ones. Not the confident ones, not the somewhat wobbly and the on-the-fringe members. Not the ones who are out the front and seem to be way out there and know what they're doing. All. This is available for all. So, okay, does he have any requirements of us to wield this gift of prophecy and encouragement, I hear you ask? Well, yes, he does. Surprise, surprise. The qualification required to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and specifically prophecy, you have to be a co-heir, you have to be a king's kid. And you must follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So we've already read that it's for building up the church, it's building up the body, edifying his body. If we, in our willingness to serve and in our willingness to have a go and be prophetic and try and hear from God, if we allow judgment or condemnation to dictate a tone or an attitude which does not imbibe love, then we are, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, noise. It means we have our own agenda. Even if we know something about somebody, all the great prophets will say, you find a way of saying it. You don't say, I don't know, you're in deep sin, you're sleeping with your next door neighbour's husband and da 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 da. You'll say, is there anything you would like to confess because God has his eye on you? How about that for a start off? God sees everything, Judith, yeah. God never condemns those he sees in Christ Jesus. God operates through steadfast love and grace. Prophecy is given through the lens of strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. Prophecy and encouragement work hand in hand. There may be encouragement without prophecy. I've had lots of words from you this morning to encourage me. Thank you very much. But there is never prophecy without encouragement. There will always be an attitude of humility and love. So our use of the gift of prophecy comes from who we are in God and who he is, what he has made us to be through the death of his Son and the work of his Spirit. It has nothing to do with ability, but everything to do with our decision to trust and obey what the Spirit is telling us to do. Aha! I hear you say. But what about the specific gift of prophecy which we read about in Ephesians 4? So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. You may think this lets us off the hook. When it talks about evangelists and David looks me in the eye and says, come out on the street, I remind him I'm not an evangelist. But he reminds me that God says we can all evangelize. And I should be. We have to understand that there are those among us who have a specific ministry of prophecy. They see things differently. So the lady who came into the cafe who wasn't a Christian and she said she could feel the presence. I pray that she would have a really good gift of insight and propheticness if she knew God. Because it's sort of there. She sees stuff. She can feel stuff. And many of us are like that. But that doesn't mean that we can't all prophesy. Way back in the history of TCF, back in the day, we've been through fellowship groups, community groups, home groups, core groups, cell groups. I can't remember which one it was. A group of some sort were meeting in the home of a lovely couple called Keith and Helen Ford, and I was part of that group, and we were doing a Bible study on 1 Corinthians 14. And Keith, that was, as per the chapter, encouraging us to prophesy. And I gave a splutter. What? Right here? Right now? No, I can't do that. And Keith sat in his big squashy armchair, looked directly at me and said, why not? Awkward. My lame excuses are lost in time, but Keith's challenge created a pivotal moment for me. I did splutter and get very indignant for quite a few weeks, and I had lots of arguments why I wouldn't be able to do that. But God waited patiently for my faith to unscrabble my preconceived ideas about prophecy and the prophetic. It had never occurred to me, I'd been a Christian probably 10 years then, it had never occurred to me that the Holy Spirit gift of prophecy was there for me to use all the time. In fact, all his gifts were there for me to use all the time. Keith said that anyone could prophesy at the drop of a hat, not because of their ability, but because of being a co-heir with Jesus, who was building his kingdom and had some really good tools to do that. I was given a good kick down the road of faith over that time. It was a bridge builder for me between the secular and the sacred. I'd always kept them quite separate, I think. But it made me see that prophecy strengthens the body, but it also reaches out to the lost to show them the kingdom and the kingdom's inheritance. The woman at the well, we know that story, the woman at the well was not saved, did not know Jesus as her Lord, but she went running from her encounter with him to tell her village that there was a man over there who knew exactly who she was, what she'd done, and they should really come and listen to him right now. Did that not build up the church? And I don't mean just by numbers. Just imagine how the disciples viewed that and their faith was built. God wasn't limiting the building of the body to a bless me time. He has a far greater overview. We are encouraged and strengthened as we witness him at work. I just want to encourage you. So this subject is huge. As I said, you could go down so many routes. There are so many things that we could do, but I've got an idea what we're going to do now. First of all, I'm going to encourage you to, if you don't have Right Now Media, this is a free online service that we have to all sorts of sermons, bite-sized things, Bible studies. It's really good. So, and there's well-known speakers. There'll be speakers on there that you've never heard of or seen. If you would like access to that and don't have it, please speak to John. He can get you hooked up with that. But there's YouTube it. YouTube has everything. And it has sermons on the Holy Spirit, the use of the Holy Spirit, the prophecy, how to detect all the different types of prophecy. There are so many different types of prophecy. There are also all the good books. Judith was talking, again, Judith linking into the thing that Sol, speakers of life, that's what Mark calls his group and encourages people to be prophetic. You're a speaker of life. You speak life into people. You encourage them, you comfort them, you strengthen them. This was his book. Have you got some more copies, Andy? You got. But again, it's online, and it covers so many different things. It covers. Oh, I mean, Mark sees stuff in everything because he's a real prophet. So you know, the number one is significant. The colour lilac is significant. The silver is significant. The boot on your foot is significant. And that brings me to what we're going to do next. You didn't think you were going to get away that soon, did you? First of all, we're going to number each other. Here we go. One, two. One, two.